Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The way the system is today is if I want to change the world, I've got to get to November, and the Republican Party and the Independence Party offered me the opportunity to do that.
Well, that was Michael Bloomberg 6 years ago. Yesterday, Michael Bloomberg became an independent. He is no longer a rhino, a Republican in name only. So what does this really mean for the 2008 presidential race? And what does it mean for New York? With me first this morning is political analyst Doug Muzio, public affairs professor at Baruch College. Hiya, Doug. Welcome back to WNYC.
Morning, Brian.
And I guess the first thing that we need to say is that nobody knows if this means he will run for president as an independent. So I want to ask you, what else could it mean? What could other reasons be for Michael Bloomberg taking this step?
Well, I mean, one is that feeling his muscle after the 2005 election, he wanted a platform for his ideas. I mean, you know, you got to read the biography. There is drive, there is a quest for excellence, power, etc. He wants to be at least a spokesman for what he sees as an agenda. It keeps him in the limelight. It makes him relevant. It's an inoculation against being a lame duck. It increases his stature with city, state, and national legislators. It's all good, both for Mike Bloomberg and for the city, in fact.
If he wants to influence the presidential debate without actually running, what message do you think he most wants to get across?
Well, I think it's competence, that there are nonpartisan technical management solutions to problems. I'm not necessarily buying it, but that would be it. Competence, competence, competence.
We're going to open up the phones here for anybody's quick reaction to Michael Bloomberg announcing as an independent. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. You can also post comments on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. You'll see our Bloomberg page. They're already coming in. Add your voice and see what your fellow listeners are writing. And our phones are open, 212-433-WNYC. Also, later in the show, we will have one of our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show political polls. And this one will be, if you have ever voted for any two of Giuliani, Clinton, and Bloomberg in the past, who would you prefer for president? So we'll do that in about an hour. We'll continue with Doug Muzio right now. I've got a scenario, Doug, that should probably trouble New York Democrats. Bloomberg, as a third-party candidate, would take many more votes from the Democrat than the Republican, wouldn't he, given his politics?
I agree. I think that it would be a net drain on Democrats, certainly here, and I would argue in nationally.
I said New York Democrats. Really, Democrats anywhere should be troubled by that scenario.
I think that, like Perot was said to have hurt Bush in 92, I think Bloomberg would hurt the Democratic candidate in 08.
One thing about Bloomberg, here is a media mogul who decided he has enough money and he wants to actually accomplish something for others with it, the kinds of things you were describing. I mean, Rupert Murdoch is like 75 years old and he's still crazy for more acquisitions.
Absolutely.
Wall Street Journal, now he's talking about part of Yahoo. Doesn't he have enough money to live on yet? But Bloomberg wants to take his money and do something. Or am I not being cynical enough?
You're not being cynical enough. I think that is there, but I mean, clearly you can't take away, you know, the ego involved in it as well. And then it's ego both with Murdoch and with Bloomberg. With Bloomberg, I would agree with you that it is socially more appropriate and beneficial. But I mean, there is that element of ego as well as message.
Laura in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laura.
Hello. I think Bloomberg is still a Republican because he's like what FDR said, an economic royalist. If he really were independent or a Democrat, he would be advocating really loudly today about the proposed rent hikes. You know, he's really fallen down about affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you measure Republicans or Democrats. You called him Democrat, Republican in name only, But there's that thin veneer of what they call like agenda-ganda, you know.
So what else? You're saying he's not doing enough. Now, he would say he's going all out for affordable housing in New York, 165,000 units, requiring, you know, 80-20, all that stuff. And so you're saying...
Talk is cheap. He hasn't really advocated for it. Imagine if Mark Green were in the mayor right now.
Mark Green's money came mostly from his real estate developer brother.
But I don't know his... and alas, that it should be like that and that the media should be like that. It would take, you know, real estate development to get advocate. But
Laura, thank you very much. But what about that, Doug? Maybe it's good to talk about the Republican side of Bloomberg the Independent, because the media is focusing on his gun control policies, his global warming policies, his immigration policies, which are all liberal. What's the Republican side of this Independent?
Well, I mean, he is a businessman and understands the ebbs and flows of market, and he believes that the number one priority is economic development and jobs. I mean, he believes that the prime city interest is economic and therefore could be seen as a classic Republican businessman. I don't quite buy it myself. I think that there are plenty of liberal businessmen with liberal philosophy. So the fact that he is a businessman both speaks to his Republicanism but also speaks against it.
All right. We got some wannabe political analysts out there, Doug, with some scenarios.
Uh-oh.
Paul in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Paul. What's your scenario?
My scenario is that he's leaving the Republican Party, but he's opening himself to being drafted by the Democrats.
As?
Well, I would think vice president, but or president, because he's the candidate. All the Republicans who are sick of this crew but can't quite bring themselves to vote Democrat might be
tough, because he just changed his party affiliation from Republican to Independent, and he would have to change it again to Democrat by October in order for him to be officially a Democrat, at least in New York State, for the 2008 race. Doug, is that correct?
I believe it is, but if he's drafted by a convention, I mean, this is really sitting around and smoking scenarios.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a little hallucinating. But, I mean, this is the time to do it, because I think it really does tap into some kind of dissatisfaction with the state of politics as it exists now.
Will in Manhattan has another scenario. Hi, Will.
Yes, I don't think he has any advantage for staying a Republican. This was a brilliant move of his. If Hillary Clinton wins the nomination, and then he would be nominated by Spitzer to be senator.
Okay, is that another smoking scenario?
He doesn't want to be senator. He wants to be one out of 100 people. Forget it.
He wrote in his book, we were talking about this off the air this morning, and you recall this, that he wrote in his autobiography, Bloomberg by Bloomberg, that he wanted to be on a chief executive track.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
So
he
wanted
to
be
mayor,
governor, or president. What do you know about the relationship between Bloomberg and Hillary Clinton? Do they work closely with each other? Do they like each other?
You know what, Brian? I don't know that, because I'm not inside and seeing it. But from what I do see from a distance is they have a good working relationship, and they at least appear to be, you know, friendly and really so. So, yes, I think that they do have a good working relationship, and I think they are personally friendly.
Because I'm trying to think. Let's say, you know, I mean, I personally tend to believe that if either Giuliani or Clinton gets their party's nomination, that Bloomberg would be even less likely to run than he might be anyway.
I agree.
But how would Bloomberg run against Hillary Clinton after saying a lot of nice things about her over the years?
Yeah, and agreeing on a lot of stuff. I don't see it, Brian. I don't see him running. I see him articulating an agenda but not running for president, because some of that very thing. I mean, he's not a very comfortable campaigner. And I don't know if he wants to do that for even a shortened campaign. And you can't totally buy it. Yeah, you can spend $500 million or $750 million, but you can't buy it. You still got to work it. And I don't know if he wants to work it. And it's that other element, too. What differences would there be between a Mike Bloomberg and a Hillary Clinton, or a Mike Bloomberg and a Rudy Giuliani? I don't know if the substantive differences are there to brand oneself as this important difference.
Funny enough, they would be different on the war, at least starting out. And I think that Bloomberg would have to develop a much more articulated position about the war. He
Absolutely.
Has said all he has said is you can't just pull out.
Right.
Well, even Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and John Edwards say that.
Right.
Edwards said it again yesterday. You can't just pull out. You have to at least leave some troops to protect the embassy, Edwards said. So, so Bloomberg, for all that he does talk about, he doesn't talk about the war in Iraq, and he would have to develop some kind of a position.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've got the broad planks of an agenda, but not all of the planks, and they need a lot of footing. They need a lot of nailing down. I mean, this is very early, and you're right. I mean, on the key issue, he hasn't really articulated a position. You've got to do a lot of homework here.
Take another call. Stuart in Wayne. You're on WNYC. Hi, Stuart.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. What are you thinking?
Well, I'd like to say that your guest has a very, very keen eye on this. I agree with so much of what he has to say. But I don't think that Bloomberg will take anything from the Democratic side in really strong numbers, as the example of Schwarzenegger. When Schwarzenegger ran here in California, which is where my hometown is, we didn't vote Republican or Democrat. We voted for the personality. And, California voters do have a little bit of a merry prankster kind of attitude about things sometimes, a little capricious attitude. I don't see that kind of celebrity status in a sense with Mayor Bloomberg. What I am concerned about with Mayor Bloomberg is he seems to run government for profit. And I do hear about your surpluses, and I hesitate to remark on New York politics being from California, like I heard Mr. Golden, Senator Golden, yesterday talk about medical marijuana. But my point is that guys who are big business guys are used to giving orders and having people carry them out. And I don't think that necessarily comports with how government really works. Mm. And I'm not comfortable with government for profit. And I'm not so sure that Mr. Bloomberg quite gets that, being where he comes from. If he wants to be involved in national politics, maybe he should throw his name in the hat for Secretary of Commerce.
Stuart, thank you very much. And one thing we should mention about that, Doug Musio, political affairs professor at Baruch College, is that here's the number I've seen. Bloomberg is prepared to spend $500 million on a race if he decides to get in.
Mm-hmm.
That would dwarf, I think, by at least twice the most that any candidate has ever spent to date on a political on a presidential race. Tell me if I'm wrong. And that he's got so much money that even spending $500 million, $500 million, he would still wind up with more money at the end of the campaign through his investments than he started at the beginning of the campaign.
Ah, the plutocratic philosopher king, absolutely. But the key number isn't $500 million or even $750 million. It's $270.
Which is?
If he's serious about running and wanting to not only run but win, he needs 270 electoral votes, more than Al Gore, more than John Kerry. I don't know if $1 billion or $2 billion buys 270 electoral votes. That's the rub. If he's in it to win it, really win it, he needs 270.
Well, it took a perfect storm, as Mark Green has said repeatedly, for Bloomberg to come out of nowhere between 9/11 and the Ferrer Green falling out and all of that happened in 2001. It would probably take another perfect storm. But here is Bloomberg speaking yesterday. This is just before he released his statement. So this was not public yet, but he hinted at it at a dinner at USC, the University of Southern California, at a conference there. And what was the conference about? Nonpartisan governing.
Joining a party doesn't mean you should stop thinking for yourself. Neither party has God on its side. A monopoly on good ideas, or a lock on any single fiscal, social, or moral philosophy.
Doug, before you go, a couple of comments coming in on our comments page. One listener says, why didn't he do this before the mayoral election? He might have had my vote. Of course, he had plenty of votes without this guy's, but
right.
I am not so much a yellow dog Democrat as a yellow dog anti-Republican. I considered voting for Bloomberg, but consider anyone's running as a Republican enough of a judgment error to lose my vote, even if I like him or her. Well, that only represents a slice of New York and not much of the country, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree.
I mean, obviously some of the country, but not enough to make a difference if he's really running for president.
I think not.
Someone else said, I can only guess that Bloomberg is positioning himself for a possible, if unlikely, VP bid or for a cabinet position on either side. Now, that's an interesting question. A caller earlier raised the VP question, but does he disqualify himself, in effect, for a cabinet post, if he even wants one, if the eventual winner of the presidency is someone from one of those two parties?
It's no way. There's no way. I mean, it just won't happen. I mean, talking about flip-flopping, I mean, it's not flip-flopping on an issue. It's flip-flopping on parties. I mean, there are real problems and obstacles to a Bloomberg candidacy. And clearly neither of the two major parties are going to nominate a Mike Bloomberg for vice president. No way.
Well, he is what Ross Perot wished he was.
Oh, absolutely.
Bottom line, and we will see where this goes from here. Doug Muzio, political analyst and public affairs professor at Baruch College, thanks a lot.
Oh, my pleasure, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll talk more about this later with New York Times correspondent Don Van Natta, who has a new book about Hillary Clinton. And later, too, we will have that informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Brian Lehrer Show poll on who you would vote for between Giuliani, Clinton, and Bloomberg if you have voted for at least two in the past. And we're already taking your votes on that on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. But coming up in a minute, should New York City police officers be forced to take breathalyzer tests after every shooting? Stay with us.